theme this year is Thrive in 25. Thrive in 25. It is a year of a Sabbath and a year of re-strengthening. We are focusing on our local church ministry all of this year. Before our camp meeting, I come every Saturday night just about and come over and pray out by the crosses. I usually ride around the church. And last night when I left home, I told Regina, I was bundled up, I said, I'll probably pray in the car tonight. And I drove around the church and prayed all the way around the church. And when I came out by the crosses like I normally do at night, on Saturday night, I parked the car, and my real intent was to sit there, but I just felt impressed to the Lord. And so God allowed me to get out and walk up and kneel and pray around the crosses last night once again. But before camp meeting, about 3 or 4 weeks before camp meeting, I was praying very earnestly for camp meeting that God would move. And I knew we'd have preachers coming, and many of them gone through battles, and some of them had lost their wives and different things through the year. And I was asking God, oh God, please send revival. God, stir their hearts. Fill them with the Holy Ghost of God. Send them back on fire and give them a new fresh touch. And in my heart, if you've ever prayed and you're really praying, getting a hold of God, you know when that sense comes over your heart that God heard you and God assured you he was going to do that. And as I stood up, he asked me this question, what about you? And I knelt back down. I said, oh, God, I need it worse than anybody else. I pray, God, you touch me. And I'll tell you, I won't share too much with you, but just God met with me that night. And before I knew what I was doing, when I kind of came back to my consciousness, as somebody said, I was walking around on that hill over there singing. I was kind of between the lights and the crosses, and I saw my shadow go across the cross. And so I got behind the lights, and I just kept on singing and praising God and worshiping God. And after that little season of time with the Holy Ghost of God working in my heart, he spoke another truth to my heart. He said, I'm going to bless camp meeting. I'm going to meet with you. And he did. Boy, he did meet with us. I don't know if you were in camp meeting this year, but it was tremendous, and God's men were blessed. But he said, I want 2025 to be a year of Sabbath, a year of rest, and a year when the church focuses on the Lord's Day. It's a special day. And it ought to be an emphasis on the Lord's Day and the body of Christ. This is a tremendous crowd here this morning for this first Sunday on a cold morning. I'm sure glad you're here. So that's our heart, and God put it in my heart. And I'll tell you, it so shocked me because you know how I'm wired. I'm all the time. I want to do this, that. We got things going on all the time. Nobody had more preachers come in. Nobody has more missionaries coming in. Nobody has more singers than we do. And I'm thankful for God's blessing. But God told me some things. He said, I want you to just focus on this church. I want the gifts I've given to your men to preach. I want them to be able to use their gifts, the teachers to teach, the singers to sing. Some of you have gifts to sing and you've not sung in a long time. But God wants you to do that this year. It's a time of re-strengthening and moving in this church congregation. It's a time of Sabbath rest. We don't want to overwork you. So we're not going to have any preachers to come in with an exclusion of 2 or 3 men that we consider family. And I've already mentioned those to you. We will have Brother Tom Gillum on a weekend. We will have Brother Randy Perry to come on a weekend and possibly to stay till Wednesday. But he'll only preach on Sunday and Wednesday. No midweek services, no middle of the time services. We're going to focus on the Lord's Day. It's a special day. And it ought to be a time when we come together and worship God and meet God, and a time when we go out to serve. I had written out several things. Let me read my text first and share with you what God's laid on my heart. Notice what he says in Psalms number 92, and I'll read verse 1. But if your Bible has captions over each chapter, as mine does, it says this, a song to be sung for the Sabbath day. This is a song they sang on the Sabbath. You know what I'm talking about, the Sabbath? The Bible says that the Lord, 6 days, he created all that you see, and he rested on the Sabbath, and he hallowed that day. Now, the Jewish Sabbath is a Saturday. We don't worship on Saturday. We worship on the Lord's Day, the risen Lord. But I believe the principle of Sabbath, God's still true. He said, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt do that. You ought to keep the Sabbath holy. And so he didn't annihilate the law. He fulfilled the law, but those principles still true. And most of you do not have a Sabbath. You go 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, and you never have a Sabbath. A few years ago, I've had occasion, I had some physical issues and some other things. And my doctor, Dr. Zangler Pence, is a great man of God. And he said, "Preacher, you've got to take some time. You just need to take some." He said, you're doing three full-time jobs. You do the highway shepherd full-time, you do evangelism full-time, and you pastor full-time. He said, "You've got to take some time." And in one of the occasions when I did several years ago, you remember, when I had the severe infection and missed a good chance to get to go to heaven is what they told me. But at any rate, Brother Tom Werner came and talked to me about the very same thing. He began to talk to me about Sabbath. And I began to study Sabbath. You know what? I found out Sabbath is not a suggestion. I kept telling Dr. Lipinski, "I'll take some time when I got time to take time." But it's a command. God commands us. He knows our bodies. He knows all about us. But it's more than just a time of rest. It's a time of re-strengthening. It's a time of rejuvenation. It's a time of worship. Lord Jesus Christ said in the New Testament that man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. God intended us for to have that. And on this day, on the Lord's day, we want it to be like a Sabbath. We want it to be a time of rest and blessing. And we're going to focus on the Lord's day. David said, "I was glad when they said, 'Let's go to the house of the Lord.'" I want you to be glad to come. Brother Barry started off his Sunday school class this morning. One of the points was, what is it made you come to church this morning? Why were you glad to get up and come? Holy Ghost of God's working in your heart. I want everybody in this building, and then 100 times over this, if the Lord would bless us this year, to be glad to go to the house of the Lord. And glad when you get here, and blessed when you get here, and glad that when you go out, that you leave rejoicing, and God will give you what you need through the week to be a blessing to others, and you'll be excited Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You'll be looking forward to getting back to the house of God. Bring your family, assemble with your family in the house of God. But look at this psalm. He said this, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praise unto His name, O Most High." This is a psalm of Sabbath. This is a song they would sing on their Sabbath day. "To shew forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery and upon the harp and upon the with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works and thy thoughts very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this, when the wicked spring as the grass and when all the works of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered, but my horn shall be exalted like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eyes also shall see my desire upon mine enemies, and my ears shall hear my desire on the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree and shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age." And I highlighted that. Praise God for that. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. I'm part of the way there. Amen. I got the old age and I got the other part and I want to flourish. Verse 15, "And to show that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there's no unrighteousness in Him." This is the attitude. This is the spirit of Sabbath. It's what it's all about. The Jews got it down to where it was just a craziness. And you can't do this, and you can't do that, and you can't do the other. It was all about what you can't do. They would take a guy who was a tailor who were sewn clothes, make clothes.
If they saw him and he happened to have a needle in his clothing somewhere, Mama used to do that. She'd be sewing and she'd put her needle in her blouse or in her apron or whatever she had on, pin it in there, and she knew where it was and she could reach and get it. If they saw him walking around on the Sabbath day with that in it, they'd put him under conviction. And they'd accuse him of breaking the Sabbath because he was carrying a burden. All those type of things. They had arguments about should you eat an egg late on the Sabbath, you know. Yeah, it's Sabbath. You eat an egg late on the Sabbath. Crazy stuff. They missed what it was all about. The Sabbath was made for man. God wanted it to be a time for us to re-strengthen. And in this passage of Scripture, there are several things. I wanted to kind of go back over what I had told you we were going to do in this coming year. But let me kind of give you just a couple of quick things as we think about this coming year. I mentioned to you, we're not going to have any outside preachers and missionaries. We're going to pray for them, love them, and we'll start right. We're going to have camp meeting in 2026. Already got several lined up. Brother Ralph Sexton will be with us on Wednesday night. In camp meeting 2026, Zane Fisher will be here, and several of them all has come. Tom Wagner, Dr. Bobby Carden, we'll have a great lineup in 2026, but not this year. This year we're focusing on our church. We're focusing on our strength. You using your gifts. Everybody be involved in some type of ministry, whether it's Sunday school, vacation Bible school, or the care ministry, other type of thing. Or even, you don't have to have a title. You'll be active in bringing folks into the house of God. Bring them to hear the gospel. Bring them into the house of the Lord. And I look around and there's families that have filled up whole sections. I love that. I love that because one after one, they reach their families and get them in the house of God, get their neighbors in the house of God. That's what it's all about. It's one-on-one ministry. That's what I'm talking about. Everybody worshiping, everybody looking forward to the Lord's day, coming into the house of God. There are nine things in this psalm. It's a little bit after 12. Will you give me just a few minutes? Nine emphases in this psalm that we need to remember about Sabbath and what this year is going to be all about. Number one, notice, if you will, there's an emphasis, number one, and rightly so, on the Lord. I went through and I marked this. Look in verse number one. He uses the phrase, the Lord, and he said, thy name, Most High. He talked in verse two about thy loving kindness, thy faithfulness. In verse four, he says, the Lord, thy work, thy hands. Five, O Lord, thy works, thy thoughts. Down in verse number eight, he talks about thou Lord, Most High. Verse nine, thine enemies, O Lord, and thy enemies shall perish. He talks about in verse 10, thou art exalted, and I shall be anointed with fresh oil. That's the Lord that does that. He goes on and right skip down to the end and look at verse number 13, and he says this, the Lord, he said, our God. In verse 15, he said, to show that the Lord is upright and he is my rock and there's no one righteous in him. The focus is on the Lord. And the purpose of this year, and to be, our theme is, to thrive in 25. Our focus is on the Lord. I looked up in Daniel's 18:24 dictionary about the word thrive. I thought I knew what it meant. It means to progress in industry, economy, and in management, to increase in goods and estate. That's one of the definitions. To increase and to be successful. The third definition, to grow, to increase in bulk and stature, to flourish. Young calves, Webster says, young calves thrive. They thrive in green pastures. Trees thrive in good soil. It means to grow. It means to advance. It means to increase. It means to advance in valuable things. That's what it's all about. It is for us to grow spiritually in the Word of God. I want to challenge you to begin to read the Bible. Read the Word of God. Three things about I want you to do about the Bible. Just read it. You say, I don't understand it. You've heard that all your life. I read it, but I can't understand it. You can understand all God wants you to understand. He said, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. You can get it. If you're saved and the Holy Ghost of God lives inside of you, He'll give you what you need every day. Every day. And I've used this illustration before. Do y'all know how I got this wonderful, massive body? One spoonful at a time. I don't eat with both hands anymore. But a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. and you read the Word of God, God will give you what you need. He'll help you to grow. Read it, but then ruminate it. What's that mean? A sheep has what's called a rumen. It's a second stomach. Cows have the same thing. And they ingest food. They'll graze all day long. And they swallow it. And then they lay down. He makes them lie down in green pastures. A sheep only lay down when he's full. Cow only lay down when he's full. Horses never lay down. They eat all the time. If you ever have a horse, you can say amen right there. But my dear friend, listen. What they do is they lay down, and what they've ingested, they begin to ruminate. It mixes with gastric juices. And then they begin to do what's called chew the cud. And then that nutrition goes in their body to make wool, to make flesh, to make muscle, to strengthen bones. And my dear friend, that causes growth. And rumination and the word meditation in the Word of God is equivalent to the same meaning in Hebrew and in Greek. It means to chew the cud. You read it, get it in your heart, get in your mind, and then you think about it. You meditate on it through the day. He is my rock. He is my rock. He is my rock. He is my rock. When things go bad at work, he is my rock. When the bottom falls out from under you financially, he is my rock. When problems come in your family, he is my rock. You meditate on that Word of God. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Get that in your heart. Get it in your mind. Put that Word of God in there and ruminate it. Meditate on it. And then rehearse it. Rehearse it. That is, tell it. Just tell it. Share it. Share it with somebody else. He is my rock. You're going through so many problems. How are you getting by? Your coworker says, he is my rock. How are you going to make it? You just lost your job. He is my rock. You've had friends to leave you, and maybe you got problems in your home. What are you going to do? He'll never leave me nor forsake me. How are you going to answer this question? How are you going to take care of these problems? How are you going to meet that need? My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Get that in your heart. Get that in your heart. Ruminate the Word of God. That's what this year is all about. I want you to start reading your Bible. Reading your Bible. Read through it. And I know a lot of you on Facebook, and I'm not being critical, there are a lot of good things on there. But I hadn't fooled with it very long. I don't fool with it very much at all now. But I know that when it first began, it was kind of like a little, little pasty note, you had a circle of friends, and you'd look every day and four or five different people. Now, they're like 10 million advertisements and everything else, and all kind of junk on there. You got to wade through all of that to find a friend or whatever. Now it's like, the News and Observer. There's just a whole bunch of stuff in there. But my dear friend, we don't need so much Facebook as we need our face in that book. Get in that book. Boys and girls, read the Bible. Read the Bible. Read the King James Bible. It's powerful. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that we have in our hands what God wanted the English people, speaking people, to have. It's not copyrighted. Most all of the other translations are copyrighted. Why? Money. They make money off that. Make it easy to read, they say. But I've gone back and looked at it. The verses that are so important to us, for God so loved the world, that gave his only begotten Son, it's the same way in their book as it is in ours. But they change other things around, and they leave out things that shouldn't be left out. Just stay with the Bible. You say, I can't read all those big words. Well, just say, God, I don't know what that big word is, but you give me a message, and you go through. I don't think anybody can pronounce all those names correctly except Brother Gary Mabry. That's why when we have the reading of the Revelation, I always give him the chapter with the big words in it. By the way, tonight we read Revelation. If you've never been here, come back tonight. We're going to read the entire book of Revelation. Believe it or not, just a little bit over an hour with singing and everything else. We'll read through the whole book of Revelation. Blessed is he that readeth and he that heareth the prophecy of this word. But the emphasis in this first is on the Lord. And my dear friend, I want our focus to be on the Lord. This is his church. This is his people. He has a plan. It's his wisdom, his power. It's all about him. We focus on the Lord, not what I can do, not what you can do, but what can God do? He's a great God. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think. And when we come into this place, I want you to leave worshiping Him and believing that He loves you, because He does. And that He's with you, because He is, if you trust Him as Savior. And because through Him you can do all things. Whatever it takes, you can face any challenge. And He promised us tribulation. He promised us trouble. But He said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. You're going to have problems. Don't be surprised when it comes. But He's given you grace. He'll give you grace to carry you through. Not only does He emphasize in the beginning here, and I'll go through just really quickly. Let me mention it to you. Notice, if you will, please, He talks about singing and praise. The Sabbath is about singing and praising God. This ought to be a joyous place when we come in. Into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. We come in here to sing His praise. We've got folk who can sing, gifted singers. We got other people who haven't sung in a long time. Their voice may be a little raspy. You may have a little age on you. But I want to tell you, you need to keep on singing. Keep on praising the Lord. Use your gifts from the Lord. I just found out that Brother Dave over here plays the guitar and sings sometime. I want you to use your gifts this year. I want you to let God use you and bless you. I don't know, Brother Charles Ray may remember the name of a guy named, what was his first name? I can't remember his name. His last name was Clear. But anyhow, he traveled around camp meeting. And they said he was absolutely the ugliest human being that's ever lived. Lenny, I believe it was Lenny, something like that. But he traveled around in camp meeting. And he knew he was the ugliest man ever lived. But he sang. And God anointed him, and God blessed people when he sang. I mean, the presence and power of God was on him. And my dear friend, it's not so much the performance, but the power that counts. It's the song that's in your heart. It's the power of God on you. I'd rather hear somebody sing who doesn't get every note perfect, but they know Him, and you can tell God's on them. But this is going to be a year of singing and worshiping and praising God and magnifying the Lord. It's all about Him. We sing to Him. We magnify Him. Then if you look down a little bit further, he mentions joy and gladness. To be joy. What, when you have a Sabbath and you focus on the Lord and you sing and worship Him, that brings you joy and gladness. If you sing out of a broken heart, the results of that rejoicing and praising God will be joy and gladness in your heart. You don't wait till you got joy and gladness and then rejoice. You worship Him. You sing to Him. You praise Him. And sometime after that is when the real joy and peace come. But then he goes on further and he talks about in verse 9, he talks about the victory, that they are the Lord's enemies. You and I do have enemies, but they are primarily the enemies of the Lord. The only reason the devil comes against you is because you are possession of a holy God and he hates God. And if you want to get to somebody, you get to their family. If you want to really hurt somebody, you hurt their child. You want to really get them angry, you hurt their child. And so sometimes Satan comes against us because he hates God the Father, but they're his enemies. And here's the deal. He can take care of his enemies. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly. There's no power formed against you that can be successful. He's God. Your enemies are his enemies. Your battles are his battles. Let him win. The victory is in the Lord. That's what this Sabbath day is all about. When you have a time when you worship him, when you sing praise to him, you rejoice in him, and you recognize that it's him. Verse number 10, he said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Dr. Jack House used to have a tremendous message on that. But one touch of the Holy Spirit of God, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God convicted you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He revealed to you your sin, and the penalty of sin, the judgment, is death. And he revealed to you the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died for you already. And it was the Holy Spirit of God that drew you. It was the Holy Spirit of God that convicted you. It was the Holy Spirit of God that converted you. No man comes to the Father but by me, and no man comes to the Father except the Spirit of God draw him. Holy Spirit of God did that. And then when you said yes, then when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, then when you knelt here or home or wherever you're at, and you asked God to come in your heart, the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, who came in? The Holy Spirit of God came in. And the Bible said he came in crying, Abba, Father. And he's in you. He'll never leave you. There's one time when you're put into the body of Christ, Holy Spirit of God comes into you. He made a promise, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But that does not mean you're always filled with the Holy Spirit of God. As someone said many years ago, there's one baptism into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit of God. Not water baptism, but Holy Spirit of God putting you in the body of Christ. But there are many fillings. I need fresh oil. You need fresh oil. I'm praying that this is the year when you'll have a fresh experience in the Holy Spirit of God anointing you with new love, new joy, new faith, a new encounter with God, a fresh encounter with God. Not maybe one time, but many times through this year, you'll have an encounter with God. I heard Brother Barrier say many years ago that there are times in your life when you're reading the Word of God and God will show you something, you'll never, ever forget that experience. Never, ever. And if you're here and you'll know what I'm talking about, if you've had a real encounter with God since you got saved, you'll never forget it. That time when you were grieving so, your wife died, husband died, child died, and you didn't know what in the world you were going to do, but the sweet Holy Ghost of God came with a special touch. He gave you a peace of God that passed all understanding. You'll never, ever forget that. You'll never forget it. You'll know He's there. And my dear friend, when He speaks to you through the Word of God, or when He gives you a fresh touch in a service and calls you once again, your heart to break for lost people, your heart to be inflamed once again to worship Him and praise Him, you'll have an encounter with the Holy Ghost of God. That's what I want everybody in this building to have before the year's over, fresh oil. Fresh oil. And then he talks in verse number 12 about flourishing and growth. That's one of the definitions of thriving in 25, that we will flourish and grow. We'll always be growing, always be learning. I said in Sunday school class with Brother Barry Barber, and every Sunday, I've been preaching for, Regina figured out, 57 years, I think it is. Been preaching 57 years. I've studied a lot of in the Bible. But you know, I'm glad when God shows me something fresh and new. Not a new doctrine, but just a fresh touch, a fresh view. And every time I sit with Brother Barry, there's something every Sunday that God speaks to my heart about. One little word, one little thought. And I'm glad it's like that. Lord, I don't want to ever get to the place when God don't speak to me. He don't make His word real to me. I'm telling you, you read it, you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised what God will show you, what God will do for you. You didn't think it's possible, but the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you. He's the author of the Bible. Read that word, and He wants us to flourish. He wants us to grow, grow in faith, grow in love, grow in surrender to Christ, grow in power. He wants everybody in here to do that. Get in the Bible Institute. It's not just for teachers or pastors, anybody. A good men, most of them, and they're just laymen, men and women. Get in there. It's just that concentrated Bible study that'll bless you. You'll enjoy it. It'll be a blessing to your heart. Word of God will come alive to you. But read it at home. Growth. And then in verse number 13, here's a tremendous verse. Look at it. Look at verse 13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Do you want to have a good year? You plant yourself in the house of God. You get grounded in the house of God. A plant that is planted in the house of God. I've learned this. Is Perry here this morning? Perry Benson has in his backyard, he and Denise, beautiful flowers. I gave her credit for them, but she said, no, that's Perry. There's a secret fertilizer that he gets and puts on those ferns. They're massive. And impatience grow, I mean, huge, big as that, or bigger. And he told me about it. He said, do it one time a year in the spring, maybe once a little bit in the fall. As long as it's planted in the right place, in the right soil, with the right food, it'll grow and flourish. And you want to have a good year? You want to be blessed? You think it makes a difference whether you go to the house of God or not? He said, those who are planted in the house of God will flourish. Get in here. Be in every service you possibly can, Sunday morning, Sunday night. We're not going to wear you out. We're not going to have you coming all through the week, long hours, this, that, and the other. You be here for Sunday. Most of the time, I won't keep you this late, but I want to get all this in on this Sunday morning. But I want you to know that you can. And then not only that idea of flourishing and growth being planted in the house of God, but he also talks about this in verse number 14. He talks about continual growth even to old age. You don't get to the place where you don't learn. Many of you never had none of you ever had the privilege of meeting my mentor, Dr. Avery Rogers from Victoria, Texas. He was such a blessing from heaven. God used him in a wonderful way. But he loved the Word of God. He got killed in a car wreck when he was 84 years old, I believe. God took him home. But he studied the Word of God, read the Word of God. He'd stay in our house when he came to preach for us. I'd get up through the night, the light would still be on in his bedroom. 80 years old, up in the nighttime, burning the midnight oil, just reading the Word of God. But he told me about the word Selah one time. He said it's used several times in the Bible, and the pat answer is it means pause. I'll think about that. In the book of Psalms, you read a psalm and it says Selah, and everybody says it means to just think about that, meditate on what that just said. He said he studied it for years. He correlated every psalm before and after it, and he had it all laid out and studied it for years and years and years. He was preaching in revival somewhere down in Mississippi, he said, in a motel room after church one night in revival. And he said God broke on his heart that night what Selah's all about. And he said he's somewhere in the late 70s or early 80s. He said, when I came to myself, he said, I was in the middle of the bed, jumping up and down, saying Selah. And boy, his face was radiant. And I said, Brother Avery, what does it mean? He said, you study it 20 years, maybe he'll show you. I'm glad that even in old age, he's still fresh. He's still real. And there's great things ahead for Benson Grove Baptist Church and for you. And for those of you who come to our morning services on Wednesday morning, by the way, we start back this Wednesday morning. Hope you'll be here. Going to have a good meal. We've started at 11 and have lunch at 12. You come if you can. You don't have to be old like me. You come anytime. If your shift works where you can be here Wednesday morning, we'll have 50 or 60 people. I hope you'll come. We have a great time. But even in old age, don't you get to the place where it's time for me to sit down and let the young ones do it. No, you may not do what you did when you were young, but there's plenty for you to do in old age. And God's got a plan for your life. Last thing, on Sabbath. What's it all about, the Sabbath? It's all about focusing on Him. It's about fresh oil. It's about flourishing. It's about growth. It's about joy. It's about praise. It's about worship. It's about being planted in the house of God. It's about continuing for your whole lifetime to grow and flourish in the Lord. And the last thing is verse 15. And show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there's no unrighteousness in Him. Sabbath is all about this. It's all about focusing on Him and acknowledging the fact that He is absolutely perfect. He is perfect everything. He is your all in all. He's all that you'll ever need. He is enough. Several years ago, when I was in Tennessee Temple Schools, I heard Dr. Lee Robertson tell a story. And he told about a young man who was very rebellious and rebelled against his mom and dad, raised Christian home and so on. And his mom and dad kept pleading with him, get saved, get saved, get saved. And finally he got saved. And as he was dying, his mama was by his bedside. He had kind of ruined his body, but he lived for God for several years, but he was dying. And as he was dying, his mom was really weeping. And he said, Mama, I'm gonna tell you something. He said, you've told me all my life that Jesus was necessary, and you were right. I needed Jesus. And I'm so thankful you and Dad didn't give up on me. You prayed and I got saved, and He was necessary. He saved me. No other way to go to heaven but by Him. You got to receive Him as your Savior. Now I want to tell you something. He's not only necessary, but He is enough. Even now while I'm dying, He's all I need. And can I tell you, He is enough. In Sabbath, when we gather and worship Him, we ought to leave with this thought in our mind, He is great. We have a great God. Not a great preacher, not a great singer, not a great choir. We have a great God and we worship Him. He is altogether lovely as the psalmist said. He is all in all. He is perfect everything. And He is my Savior and my Lord and my rock. I can face this week. I can do my job. I can deal with problems. I can face heartache and sadness because He is righteous and there's no unrighteousness in Him, and He is my rock.